horses, two IC engines. That was a quantum leap. It's this time, it's the similar setup. A lot of new ways to do business, and that's why this is the appropriate time for us to bring in a new solution to the fore, which will enable such situations to be able to manage the vehicles.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery, and with me on the show today, I have two guests, Andreas and Mukund. Gentlemen, would you like to introduce yourselves? Andreas first?
Yeah, thanks. So my name is Andreas Klaschka. I'm the solution owner for the Digital Vehicle Hub. I work now 20 years with SAP, starting as a consultant and being now for 5 years in the IBU Automotive. And as mentioned, currently taking care of mobility topics, especially about the Digital Vehicle Hub.
Okay, superb. And for people who are unaware, IBU is the industry business unit. So you're in the automotive business unit in SAP.
Yes, thanks.
Okay, and Mukund?
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, my name is Mukund Rao. I am based in Detroit, Michigan. I'm also part of the automotive business unit as a solution manager, and I'm responsible for the overall mobility initiative within automotive. I've been part of the SAP world for the last two decades and consider myself an automotive enthusiast.
And you're living in the right place for it, Mukund, based out of Detroit.
Absolutely, in Motown.
In Motown. Excellent, excellent. So, Andreas, you mentioned solution manager for something called the Digital Vehicle Hub, and we're on the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, so there's a nice alignment there, I'm hoping. Can you tell us what is the Digital Vehicle Hub?
Yeah, the Digital Vehicle Hub is a new solution what we designed upon the Asset Intelligence Network solution, and it is a data repository for vehicle data. You know, nowadays, vehicle data are getting very important in the automotive business because all new vehicles send out a lot of data via their sensors, and this is going to be a big opportunity for future businesses. And with the Vehicle Hub, we are able to collect several vehicle data in a central place and share those data later on.
Okay. And question to both of you guys, what problem is this solution solving?
So, all these years, you know, automotive was a steady field. It was all incremental improvements in the manufacturing process or the engineering process. But in the last few years, there has been a huge disruption in automotive, you know, especially the famous electric vehicle manufacturer in California. You know, he has disrupted the entire supply chain as well as how the business is conducted. There are new models evolving, whether it be selling direct to the customer or to be able to utilize the actual vehicle more than just a piece of manufacturing piece. It's the mission statements for OEMs are changing. They are no longer calling themselves manufacturing entities, but mobility providers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in order to cater to all these evolving new models, we at SAP have a very good background in the automotive solution. So looking at the trends out in the market, we decided to come up with a new concept or a new platform, which will be the foundational element for all of these business processes which are coming to the fore. This will be a foundational element. And on top of this, we will be building newer applications, which will enable not only the new business processes, but even the future ones. So that's what is the concept, how it started for the Digital Vehicle Hub. So it will be the concept of a digital twin. Physical data is there. Now we have a digital twin. And using this digital twin repository, there'll be more apps built on that, which will enable whether it be pay-per-use, the subscription models, the fleet management, and such.
Okay, interesting. And who are the potential customers for this? Is it the OEMs?
Well, I can take that. Of course, it's the OEMs, the traditional OEMs, but also the new OEMs coming up with electric vehicles. But we also have different players in mind because the automotive cosmos is quite big, I would say. So with the trend for new mobility and the trend from getting away from owning a vehicle to sharing concepts, we see here a big potential in the way in the area of new mobility service providers offering subscription or car sharing options. But it could be also something that is operated by large dealer groups having a lot of vehicles on their ground. Same as importers and wholesalers. But we also have now contact to colleagues reaching out from other industries to us, especially insurance companies, who are also willing to get more information about the vehicles they insure and to start new businesses with the data they collect there. So insurance is an industry that we are also closely looking on, and also utilities, because utilities have players in the field that also start now using fleets of vehicles and collecting those data for further businesses.
Interesting, yeah, because I saw a great story out of Virginia where Dominion Energy, a utility company in Virginia, are buying 1,000 school buses. And, you know, you're kind of thinking to yourself, why is a utility company buying school buses? But of course, they're buying electric school buses so that the community around them can have their kids transported to and from school, not in diesel buses, but in clean, quiet electric buses. And then those buses, which only operate twice a day for the rest of the time, become a power plant, a virtual power plant for the utility company. So it doesn't have to build a much more expensive power plant. It just has those buses there as a storage solution that can store energy when they're not being used and give it out when it's not being used and be a kind of backup bank for the grid.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, exactly. This is the time for huge disruption in the way automotive industry is working. It's like when the ICE engine come into play, you know, horses to ICE engine. That was a quantum leap.
Yep.
It's this time, it's the similar setup. A lot of new ways to do business. And that's why this is the appropriate time for us to bring in a new solution to the fore, which will enable such situations to be able to manage the vehicles, not only as an asset, but also how it's getting charged and, you know, taking care of the best way to charge it during off-peak and all those kind of things. Absolutely.
Interesting. Interesting. And you mentioned insurance as well. That's, I mean, I know that I drive about 10,000 kilometers a year, so about 6,000 miles a year. And my neighbor drives three times that much. He drives closer to 30,000 kilometers a year, and yet our insurance is roughly similar. And obviously that makes no sense. But of course, with the advent of connected vehicles, the insurance companies can now get that data and potentially roll out things like, you know, pay as you drive or even pay how you drive insurance, which has all kinds of implications. I know my car is a fully electric car, for example, which means it's a very fast car. So while pay as you drive might be slightly cheaper for me because I don't drive very much, on the other hand, because mine is a fast car, pay how you drive might penalize me. So it might end up being roughly the same at the end of the day.
Exactly. So there are a lot of business use cases on the table. It's also an option for an insurance company to check when you are driving. So are you driving when a lot of traffic is on the street? So commute you during the day when all the others commute, and there's a much higher risk for having an accident than when you commute during times when the traffic is much lower. So also that could have an implication on the insurance rate you pay. And, you know, Europe, for example, we are having still a lot of borders with regional countries having own insurance topics that need to be looked on. And if people are passing sometimes borders, especially if you go to the eastern part of Europe, most likely your vehicle is not insured. But if you, if the company maybe can track that you are approaching a border, they can send you an update on your smartphone, for example, for an additional police, insurance police for the country you are approaching, so that you are insured also in countries that the original insurance would not cover.
We'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. Become a sponsor. Lead the conversation. Contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today. Influence the future.
There's a huge trend now in cars for people to either install dash cams, or some cars have cameras built into them. Is that kind of information as well? Is it possible to put that into the vehicle hub?
So video material from that side, we are not covering. We are covering mostly the mileage of a vehicle. We are covering the GPS information. We are covering the battery level for electric vehicles. We are covering the CO2 emissions for combustion engines, because this is the values that our customers most likely ask for. Video material would consume a lot of data space, and that makes it then not so attractive to cover that.
And bandwidth as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, and bandwidth as well.
Okay, very good, very good. There's always the question in these kind of situations of privacy and security, two separate questions. But in terms of data privacy and data ownership, who does the data from the vehicle belong to, and how do you manage to, you know, assure the privacy of that data?
So also, that is something that is different from country to country. Mm. And sometimes, of course, you need to have the acknowledgement from the driver to use those data. But there are also business models now on the market that give an incentive to the drivers who give away those kind of private data. And as you can see with membership cards like Lufthansa, Miles & More, Payback for buying goods in supermarkets, you always can get a revenue on giving away your private data. And if customers see that they get that revenue, then they are very willing to give away that private data. For example, in our discussions, we often hear that if we can collect those kind of data of a vehicle and see in see in which shape the vehicle currently is, any warranty contract extension could be made with an individual price to the vehicle. And if somebody is treating the vehicle well and the sensors are giving then, I would say, green signals to an OEM, for example, the OEM would be willing to extend the warranty for a vehicle, and therefore the driver will receive a better price on the warranty extension instead of relying on a standard warranty extension without any sensor data.
Were you going to say something there, Mukund?
Yeah, the only additional comment was from my side was this also depends on the business model or the, you know, purpose that they're going to be using DVH. It could be an OEM to the customer. It could be a dealer. So the privacy models are based also on the context at, you know, what the business is being conducted. But like Andreas said, everything is based on the rules and, you know, whatever parameters are set for that relationship. If things have to be shared to achieve an objective, that would be the case, but obviously fully endorsed by all the concerned parties and partners.
Okay. And as you rightly said at the start there, Andreas, it obviously depends a lot on where you're based as well. The rules in Europe are very different around privacy to the rules in the US, for example, and other countries as well. And it's getting even more complicated because, you know, Volkswagen recently launched their new ID4, and I was looking at the web page for it, and you've got now, Volkswagen are now offering the Volkswagen My Renting, I think they call it, option, where you don't buy the vehicle, you pay a certain number of euros or dollars per month, a few hundred, I don't know, 300 or 400 or 500, depending on what spec you get and how long you want to have it over. And of course, in that scenario, you never own the vehicle. Because the My Renting is just a long-term renting thing from somewhere like 3 to 5 years or something like that. And you choose the period. And at the end of it, you decide whether you want to keep the car or get a new one or whatever it is. But you never at any point actually own it. And of course, if you don't own it, then the data model changes again. So it's very different if you own it versus you never own it. Versus, you know, whatever other kind of models are out there. Leasing would be another one, and company cars would be another one. So it's got to be quite complicated to manage the privacy in all those different scenarios.
When you do a certain kind of business, like rental or subscription, you will have a supplement in your contract, but you are actually allowed to use the data from the drivers for some other purposes as well, because if there is a fine on or a traffic fine on the vehicle, you need to contact the drivers also long after the vehicle has been returned. And with that, you can also use the privacy acknowledgements that the data are used for other businesses. So I would say it's always a legal thing how the relationship between the user of a vehicle, may it be subscription, rental, or sharing, is set up. And then these data can be used for the kind of businesses that are on top, the basic business like rental and subscription.
Speaking of rental, I can imagine this would be very useful for car rental companies because, as far as I'm aware, their typical model is they buy a fleet of cars at the start of the year and then they roll them out. People rent them during the year, week after week after week after week. And then depending on the company and depending on its model, they then sell them off at the end of the year, buy in a new fleet for the next year. It might be after every 2 years or whatever it is. They probably get them on leases themselves. But if they're going to sell them at the end, or whoever owns them, the leasing company, whoever owns them is going to sell them at the end, if they now have a record of how the vehicle has been driven during that time, it should make the price of the vehicle far easier to calculate, I guess is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, so one of the use cases which will be built on top of the DVH is the fleet management, which exactly describes, you know, the scenario that you just mentioned, which is there's a fleet of cars and the entity which is looking after the fleet of cars has all the data in their complete fleet. For each vehicle, there'll be not only data as to their registration, the insurance, how it was used, you know, over its lifetime, you know, how much of the utilization, kind of a mileage, what kind of fuel efficiency, you know, what were the repairs done, whether there was any damage, everything related to a vehicle would be there captured in the DVH, which is essentially the repository, like I mentioned. So on top of that, we will have the fleet management capabilities, which are a potential rental, car provider would require to manage his fleet of vehicles. So that's the point. The DVH would be the foundational element, and the fleet management capabilities would be built next in the, you know, in terms of how to manage such a fleet of vehicle, what are required, you know, whether they want to maximize the usage of the vehicles, you know, and then they actually are able to schedule the maintenance so that, you know, they have always in the overall fleet, you know, they have maybe 80% utilization if that's the goal that they want to achieve. So that's, you're absolutely right. So DVH would be the foundational element. And on top of that, we can bring in all the other application in order to help entity like a rental car provider to manage their fleet.
Okay, and for, I guess, for organizations that have large fleets of vehicles, if that's an electric fleet of vehicles, they could then, to your earlier point, Andreas, about utility companies, they could then enter into some kind of agreement with the utility company to say when the vehicles charge or when the vehicles discharge, if they're adding energy back to the grid, and have a smart charging system in place.
Correct. I want to say it's just something, again, on the vehicle record that you have mentioned. Because when you want to sell a vehicle and you have a total record of the vehicle, and then you can generate a lot of trust to the one who wants to buy the car. And that means he will believe that a vehicle has run a certain mileage. It has been maintained properly by different workstations and so on. And that is a good or very essential topic when you want to resell the car and you want to charge a certain price, because then you can really argue that the price is justified, yeah, and buyers are willing to pay the price that you are asking for, because they see everything is correct. And that has also a very huge impact on the prices an OEM will or can ask for new vehicles, because if the price level for used vehicles is quite high, there is no need for an OEM to give a high rebate on new vehicles, because you always want to have, of course, a difference between vehicles that are totally new and maybe not so new, but still not that old, and exiting a fleet after, let's say, 1 year, for example.
Right.
So this is a huge impact.
Interesting. Okay, gentlemen, we are coming up on the 20-minute mark, which is usually when I start to wind the podcast down. Is there any question I've not asked that you wish I had asked, or is there any point we've not brought up that you think people should be aware of?
Sure. Maybe you asked for the release date of our Digital Vehicle Hub, and it was 2 days back, October 7th. So our customers can now buy the Digital Vehicle Hub, and our sales force is out selling it. And of course, it's going to be supported by the IBU. Thank you.
Superb. And Mukund, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think what I would like to conclude it with, it's an exciting new times, and therefore, this is what we are excited to bring this new product out to the market, which will enable all our customers, whether it be an OEM, a mobility provider, or a rental car company, to enable their new business models. Thank you.
Fantastic. Folks, if people want to know more about the Digital Vehicle Hub or about either of yourselves, where would you have me direct them?
So, for the products, for the solution, you can go on the webpage for the Digital Vehicle Hub. I will provide you the webpage. And if you want to contact Mukund or myself, you can go via email or telephone. And also that information will be published in the podcast.
Okay. Thank you both so much for coming on to the podcast and telling us all about the Digital Vehicle Hub.
Thank you for giving us a chance to do that.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital-supply-chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.